A video version of this podcast is available at AboundingJoy.com and also on our YouTube pages. Well, thanks for joining me for this third presentation as we look at the contrast between Christianity and some of the more secular worldviews. Today, there is a worldview that's having a lot more influence in our country than I would have ever thought possible. I just never would have dreamed it would be so influential. It's called critical theory. Some people call it cultural Marxism. I'll explain why they call it that in just a minute. But it's a worldview with a very non-Christian set of beliefs. But it can be very attractive to Christians who've not really dug into it deeply enough to understand what it's all about. Critical theory people will emphasize that oppressing the weak is bad, that racism is bad, that bigotry is bad, that white supremacy is bad. Now, what's a Christian going to say to that? We're going to say, amen. Those things certainly are all bad. Critical theory people often have slogans like Black Lives Matter. That's a big one right now. It's October 2020. And Christians want to say, amen. Of course Black Lives Matter. We certainly agree with that. And so, hearing those kind of things, some Christians find themselves getting on board, supporting a worldview that turns out to be very antagonistic toward biblical Christianity. And the point I'm trying to make today is it's important we need to dig a little bit deeper before we get on board, just because there are some things that sound very wonderfully Christian on the surface. We need to be careful. Turns out some of these people are using what I call a bait and switch tactic. Have you heard that before? It's a form of logical fallacy, I guess. It's kind of like the people who say, listen, do you believe that bacteria can develop into strains that are resistant to antibiotics? And you say, well, sure I do. I say, well, that's called evolution. You're an evolutionist. Now, that's total nonsense, of course, because variation within a species is very, very, very different from the claim that a microorganism over billions and billions of years somehow changed into higher life forms. It's like comparing apples and oranges. It's bait and switch. That's another topic. We're not going to go there right now. But my point is, that's what's happening here. There are people who will say, you're against racism, right? Well, sure I am. And you believe Black Lives Matter, don't you? Of course I do. And you're opposed to bigotry, aren't you? And white supremacy? Well, of course I am. And you believe in helping the poor and the weak instead of oppressing them, don't you? Sure I do. Well then, you're one of us. Welcome to the revolution. And the next thing you know, you're carrying a banner in the middle of a protest that happens to turn violent. And you may not really understand what's going on at the heart of the movement. It just seemed like a really cool thing to do, a place to stand for a Christian, didn't it? By the way, I'm going to chase a rabbit just a little bit here. I think many of us who reject critical theory actually believe Black Lives Matter more than a lot of those people do. We believe Black Lives Matter all the time. We believe Black Lives Matter when they're being threatened and taken by other black people. We believe Black Lives Matter when they're unborn babies still in the womb. Seems to me that sometimes the Black Lives Matter movement cares only about black lives when they're being taken by white people, which is horrific, of course. You've probably heard of Karl Marx. The primary focus of Karl Marx was on economic revolution. He saw the world as in a great conflict between economic classes of people. He felt that the owners of the means of production in a place, in a society, brutally exploited the working people. And that there had to be a revolution in which those oppressed working people would violently throw off their oppressors. But his theories were focused primarily on economics. He and Frederick Engels once wrote this, "For nearly 40 years, we've raised to prominence the idea of the class struggle as the immediate driving force of history, and particularly the class struggle between bourgeois," by which he meant the class of people who owned the means of production, "and the proletariat," by which he meant the industrial working class, "as the great lever of the modern social revolution. At the founding of the International, we expressly formulated the battle cry, "The emancipation of the working class must be the work of the working class itself." Now, the people who advocate critical theory as a worldview are usually seeking to expand Marx's ideas from economic classes of people to other groups of people, but the main concept is that there are groups of people who are being oppressed, and there are other groups of people who are their oppressors. So, for example, people of color are being oppressed by white people. Women are being oppressed by men. Transgender people are being oppressed by what they call cisgender people, which, by the way, is a very misleading terminology that's simply used to describe people who were born male and stayed male, or born female and stayed female. We've got a name for that now. Gays and lesbians and bisexuals are being oppressed by heterosexuals. Non-Christians are being oppressed by Christians. So there are all kinds of these different groups. And by the way, just as another little rabbit to chase here, when you hear the term intersectionality, which you hear a lot in these contexts, intersectionality refers to the fact that people are always members of more than one group, of course, and that always complicates things. It doesn't change their basic theories, it just complicates things. For example, white women are oppressed because they're women, but they're oppressors because they're white. See what I mean? They got to put all that together. And a transgender, homosexual, black woman would be especially oppressed due to membership in more than one oppressed group. And by the way, the fact that a group is oppressive doesn't necessarily mean it's the largest group. That's not always true. In fact, sometimes it's very obviously not true. The epitome of oppressive groups for most of these people is the old white Christian men, you know, the old white Christian men. So it turns out, of course, if you think about it, that old white Christian men are a very small part of the population. Men over the age of 65 represent fewer than 10% of the population. So white men over 65 would be even smaller percent. Christian white men, even smaller, but we're still considered the oppressive group because we're in a position to impose our values on everybody else. See how that works? So what I want to do here is highlight just a few of the differences between biblical Christianity and critical theory. I'll do that by putting forth a series of questions, and we'll ask the same question to what might be an adherent to biblical Christianity and to what might be an adherent to critical theory. Answers could be different, of course. This just gives you a general idea of the differences between biblical Christianity and critical theory. There could be a lot more questions. I'm just going to deal with a few of them, and I'll work through this fairly quickly. So one question is, who am I anyway? Well, biblical Christianity says, I'm a creation of God, made in the image of God. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. After I trust Christ, I'm redeemed, I'm transformed, I'm made into a new creation. Critical theory says, I'm a member of a group, maybe groups, and I'm competing with other groups for power. Here's another question. What's my primary problem? Well, biblical Christianity says it's sin, rebellion against God. Critical theory says, my primary problem, oppression. There are groups exploiting other groups. I'm being oppressed. Or I may be part of the oppressing group. What's the solution? Biblical Christianity says, Jesus. By trusting Him, we become new creatures. He's the solution to our problems. Critical theory says the solution is activism, overthrowing the oppressors. Or, if you happen to be part of an oppressing group, renouncing your privileged position. What's my goal in life? Biblical Christianity will say, my goal is to bring glory to God and to spend eternity with Him. Critical theory will say, the goal is liberation, overthrowing the oppressing group. What must I confess? Biblical Christianity says, I've got to confess that I've been selfish, I've rebelled against God, I've lived my way instead of God's way. When I violate God's commands, I need to confess it. It's called sin, I need to admit it to God. Critical theory says, I need to confess that I'm part of the oppressing group, therefore I am a, and you'll have to fill in the blank here, I'm a racist, or I'm a sexist, or I'm a homophobe, just because I'm part of the group. I confess that I'm part of the oppressing group. How can I be redeemed? Biblical Christianity says by the blood of Jesus, by repentance and faith in Jesus. critical theory says there is no redemption. Ultimately, they don't really allow repentance. I'm guilty of being part of the oppressive group, and I can't do anything about it. I just got to confess it, maybe do homage to the oppressed, but I'm still part of the oppressing community. I can't fix that. I can't change that. What's my primary duty? Biblical Christianity says to love, serve, and glorify God, and to love and serve others. Critical theory says, no, it's to liberate the oppressed and to overthrow the oppressors. It's all about oppression. Here's another question. How do we know what truth is? Biblical Christianity says, well, truth is what God says it is, what corresponds to reality. Truth is where the evidence points. Truth is what reasoning brings forth. Truth maybe is the result of argument. We find truth. Critical theory says truth is the experience of the socially oppressed. In other words, the ones who are down and out, the ones who are being oppressed, whatever their experience is, however they describe it, that's truth. It just depends on their social position. If you happen to be in an oppressor group instead of being one of the oppressed, then you're blind to the truth just because you're part of the oppressing group. The only people that can really see truth are the oppressed people. And by the way, if something tends to support the oppressing group, it's got to be false. It's just there to designed to maintain power for those who already have the power. So if there's an argument or a scripture or logic or evidence that seems to point to something that the oppressing group says is true, it's just irrelevant. It doesn't matter what the evidence is. It doesn't matter what the scripture says. It doesn't matter what the arguments are. If the experience of the group being oppressed say this is the way it is, then that's the way it is. What's the relationship between different groups? Well, biblical Christianity says we're all made in the image of God. We're all primarily part of the human race. We've all sinned. We can all be redeemed in Christ. So we need to just love one another. Critical theory says groups are pitted against one another. They struggle against each other for control and supremacy. Some are victims, some are victimizers. Here's an interesting question. What about members of minority groups, for example, who are Christians and who actually disagree with critical theory? Well, of course, biblical Christians say, hey, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, we may be different color, have different color skin or have different backgrounds, different cultures, but we're all in Christ and we're one. God's given us truth in His Word, all of us. But someone who adheres to critical theory will say, no, you can't do that. If he does that, he's acting like a member of the oppressive group. So his skin may be black, but he's acting white. He's really white. What if the Bible teaches something different than what I've believed all my life? Well, biblical Christianity says, hey, accept what the Bible says. You may have believed an error. You go with what Scripture says. But critical theory says the Bible is just a tool. It's a tool of the oppressive group to try to take advantage. They use it to take advantage of the oppressed. What should I believe about God? Biblical Christianity says, well, God exists. He exists eternally. He's eternal. He's all-powerful. He's all-loving. He's the Creator. He's the Judge. He's the Savior. You could mention several characteristics of God revealed in His Word. Critical theory will say, there's no supreme God. You have to exert your own power through resisting the oppressive group. It's all about you resisting oppression. Here's a good question. How can I tell if I'm really a racist? Biblical Christianity says, do I love people regardless of their skin color or their language or their cultural differences? Do I realize we're all made in the image of God? Do I treat people differently because they look different or from a different culture? Am I being partial? That's the kind of question you have to ask. But in critical theory, the answer is, am I a member of an oppressive group who disagrees with critical theory? If so, I am a racist. Members of oppressed groups, by the way, cannot be racist by definition. But they've got to accept that all members of the oppressive groups are racist. Even if they're treating them well, they're racist because they're part of the oppressive group. What is oppression anyway? Biblical Christianity says, well, people who have money or power and they use that money or power to cheat or take advantage of others who are powerless to defend themselves, They're oppressing. It's a kind of cruelty. It's very sinful, obviously. Critical theory says, well, oppression is what automatically and unconsciously happens when two groups of people interact. One group oppresses the other by the totality of behavior and laws and expectations and things like that to enhance it and keep its own power. That's oppression. Here's a question. What should black Christians say or do if they've experienced the pain of racism personally? Because it does happen, you know. Well, biblical Christians would say, first of all, don't buy into critical theory. Reject that. Accept God's word. Choose God's way of responding. You've been hurt. Look for opportunities to expose the sin of racism. It needs to be exposed. Bring sin into the light. And find other Christians, white and black, who will empathize, who will reject racism, who will support you and love you and encourage you and help you through it. And realize that all of us have sinned. None of us are innocent. And remember the prayer of that self-righteous Pharisee. Remember that in the prayer of the tax collector. God be merciful to me, a sinner. What does critical theory say? Critical theory just says work to overthrow the oppressors. Try to overthrow the oppressors. That's what you do about it. Here's another question. Is it okay to advance my goals using violence? And biblical Christians would say, well, violence is justified sometimes, but only in self-defense or to defend others who are being attacked. And critical theory will simply say, yes. Even violence against people who just disagree with me is acceptable if it helps throw off the oppressors. It's all about throwing off the oppressors. And if it takes violence, so be it. We've got to liberate the oppressed. Here's another important question. Is it possible for systemic oppression to actually exist? And the answer from biblical Christians is, of course it does. It has. Examples would be slavery in the United States. That was systemic racism. That was systemic oppression. The Jim Crow laws, same kind of thing. The Holocaust in Nazi Germany. Abortion in the United States is going on right now. Critical theory says it does not only exist, it's constant and it's inevitable. Here's a question. Whom should I resist? Biblical Christianity says you've got one enemy, Satan and his demons. It's not people. Critical theory says it's people who have power. You've got to resist them. How should we react to those who disagree with us? Biblical Christianity says, well, you love them. Stay humble. Graciously try to help them see the truth about Jesus. Critical theory says reject them. They're oppressive. Treat them as aggressors. If you disagree with me, it's an attack on who I am. Here's an interesting question. What happens when so-called oppressors are actually successfully overthrown? And biblical Christians say, we'll tell you what will happen. It'll be an authoritarian dictatorship. A few people will seize power in the name of the people, quote unquote, but there'll just be a few people controlling everybody else. This has been the pattern in socialist communist countries over and over again that have succeeded in overthrowing the previous governments. It's happened many times. We can see it in history. If you accept critical theory, supposedly what's going to happen is freedom and liberation. That's what they look for. But the truth is, over and over again, we've seen this. People who worked for the revolution are ultimately disillusioned, because there's a new repressive elite group of people. They emerge to claim power, and they're claiming it on behalf of all the people. They're worse off than they were in the first place. Here's a question. What should I think of identity politics? Biblical Christianity says, well, identity politics is the logical conclusion of critical theory and intersectionality. That's true. But it turns out to be bad. Because instead of seeing individuals as individuals created in the image of God and that we're all equal at the foot of the cross, it sees people as members of either oppressed or oppressive groups. So all it does is create more divisions among us based on our grouping instead of uniting us as one people. Critical theory says, well, it is the logical conclusion of critical theory and intersectionality, but it's good. because it clearly separates the oppressed from the oppressors. We've got to do that to overthrow the oppressors. We've got to recognize who the oppressed are. Here's a question that's important. Who's responsible for my personal behavior? Biblical Christians say, I am. I've got to accept responsibility for the consequences of my sinful actions. I can't just say it's somebody else's fault. It's my fault. I've got to accept it. Critical theory says the oppressing group is responsible. For example, the white patriarchy. I'm not responsible personally for my own behavior. What is racism? Biblical Christianity says it's the sin of showing partiality on the basis of skin color or maybe cultural identity and so forth. It's a sin, of course. Critical theory says racism is what all white people are guilty of because of the fact that they're part of the group of oppressors. That's just who they are. They will say people of minority groups cannot be racist. It's the inevitable result of the white oppressive group. So racism is uniquely and inherently part of being white. And they will even say violence against whites by blacks is a legitimate action by an oppressed people. Here's another question. What's the place of reason and logic and investigation? Biblical Christianity says God is a God of truth. He created us with the ability to reason and investigate and study and discover Him and discover truth. But critical theory will say reason and logic and investigation are just tools of the oppressing group. They're not useful, and we don't permit them. If you disagree with the oppressed group, for whatever reason, you're being oppressive, and you can't claim to use reason or logic. It's irrelevant. Here's another one. Is it possible for someone in the oppressed group to be suffering the consequences of his or her own irresponsible behavior? If things turn out bad for someone in the oppressed group, is it possible that it's because of their own irresponsible behavior? And a Christian would say, yes. Each one of us has to take personal responsibility for our own sins. It doesn't matter what our circumstances are. Yes, sometimes our circumstances are bad, but we still have to take responsibility. Critical theory says no. Actions of the oppressive group cause the legitimate reaction of the oppressed, including violence or maybe theft. Here's a question. Why is critical theory so appealing to Christians? Well, I think a lot of biblical Christians who understand this would say critical race theory uses words that appeal to Christians. Even though they redefine the words, Christians realize that we really do have a problem with racism. There really is a problem of genuine oppression. There really is a problem of people who abuse and misuse power. There really is a problem of the poor. There's a problem of bigotry. There's a problem of guilt. No question about it. These are all real problems. And so Christians tend to be attracted to something that says it will solve those problems. Of course, critical theory people just say, oh, they're just recognizing the guilt that comes automatically as a result of being part of the oppressing groups. They're getting woke. They're seeing the truth. Well, I know this is not a comprehensive study, and I know it doesn't answer all the questions, and I know it's been kind of simplistic, and you might disagree with parts of it, and that's okay. But hopefully it maybe gets us down the road a little bit to better understanding some of the differences between critical theory and biblical Christianity. I believe that critical theory is a tool that our enemy, the devil, has concocted to take advantage of people who are not taking the time to develop discernment and wisdom. But it's capable of doing an enormous amount of harm to an enormous amount of people because of some very real problems that exist. It's the wrong way to solve them. I just want to encourage you as a Christian to stand firm in God's Word, stand firm in the love of Christ, stand firm against the wiles of the devil, and stay in the battle until God calls you home, okay? Father, we've been talking about some things that are very difficult to talk about and things that we have a hard time understanding, things that get very complicated and complex. But Lord, we know our enemy, the devil, is working overtime, viciously, aggressively, very deceptively, to try to confuse a lot of people about some real, genuine problems. And I guess, Lord, as part of the consequences of sin, we have sinned, and now one of the consequences is critical theory that's causing even more damage and even more destruction. So, Lord, help us to see more clearly. Help us to see things like you see things. Lord, help us to see racism, help us to see oppression, help us to see people who have solutions that are very, very non-Christian and anti-biblical and are opposed to your truth, Lord. Help us to see all of this clearly and to have a response that's like Jesus. We want to be more like Jesus. So help us, Lord. We need your help. We can't do it on our own. We can't figure these things out on our own. We need you. So please help us and use us for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.